We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. My name's Tina Dobbs. I'm in the driver's seat. My sweet sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is behind the iPad. And our guest this morning is our beautiful sister, Miss Mary Fullerton. How are you this morning, Miss Mary?
I'm just really good. You know, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow.
Amen.
And so every day is a new day with him.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to hourpower32@gmail.com, or you can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the live broadcast on Facebook, and we'll do our best to get them down on paper, and we'll pray about halfway through the program. Our sponsor for this morning is Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. And we do record in two parts. We can't post them right now. We're having some technical difficulties with our website, but we will do our best to get them uploaded as soon as possible. Our book... Our book... blessing for this month is The Shelter of God's Promises by Sheila Walsh. You can like, share, and comment done, and we will get your name onto our book blessing wheel for this month. Would you like to pray to start us out, Miss Mary?
Okay. Father, we just thank you for your presence here this morning, Lord, because you said where two or three of you are gathered in my name, you are in the midst. And so, Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we ask you to come and flow through us today, Lord, because without you, we can do nothing. And we want to lift you up. We want you to receive all the glory and all the praise. Lord, I just pray, Father, for our listeners today. Lord, I pray that you would draw people in that need to hear this message, Lord, and that you would quicken them to tune in. And Lord, I just ask you, God, that you would use our mouth to speak something that would be of encouragement to them and would strengthen them in their faith, Lord. Do what you want to, Father. Your word does not return void. It accomplishes that whereunto it is sent. And Lord, we thank you that it's going to do that this morning. Father, and we thank you for your anointing, Lord, upon us and upon your word, Lord. And we just give you all of the glory and all of the praise for who you are and what you do among us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So last Tuesday you started with who God is and what he will do.
Yes.
And today is part two, and I'm so excited.
Yes, yes. That was what I was going to say. Last week we got who he was covered. I want to remind you of, I'm not going to go back and read any of the scriptures, but I'm going to rename those things and give you the references so that as a refresher. And then today we're going to go into what he will do. And there are six things that he said that he would do. That was in what I was going to present last week. But this week I found another one.
Oh.
And so I have one that's really exciting that I want to add to what I was going to say. So Jesus said, first of all, in reminding you of who he said he was, he said, the first thing he said last week was, I am from above. He said, you are from beneath, but I am from above. And that was found in John 8:23. And then he said something else that is very exciting to me. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. And that I am is always in the present tense. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is the I am. And in saying that he is the I am, he is saying, I am the eternal one. I am the eternal one. And because he's the eternal, and because of something that he said, I will today, our future is very bright. And so the third thing that Jesus said that he was, he said, I am the light of the world. And that was in John 9 and verse 5. And then he said, I am the bread of life. You know, there's one thing that we in our physical bodies can't do without, and that we have to have. Not only do we have to have oxygen to breathe, which Jesus is our very breath. Mm-hmm. He is our very breath. But the other things we need to live is something to eat and something to drink. And he said, I am the bread of life. And then you go right along that scripture that he said, if you eat of me, you'll never hunger. And if you drink of me, you'll never thirst. And so I just want to remind you, he's not only the bread of life, but he's the living water. So anyway, and then he said, I am the true vine. You know, there's a lot of people going around saying a lot of things today, but not all of them are the truth. We have to be very careful, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Jesus, he is the truth. We can put our whole trust in him, because he will be honest with us, you know. And sometimes we don't exactly like that honesty. Mm-hmm. As we were talking about before we started, there's sometimes that God brings words of correction to us, and he lets us know right where we are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're not ready to receive that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but God wants us to make it. And if there's anything in our life that will keep us from making it, he's going to tell us about it. And he's the one. He doesn't just leave it to us to work on, but he helps us. He gets in there and he takes it. You know, I mean, he helps us to give it up. Mm-hmm. He makes the way, you know, for us to walk in that path that he wants us to walk. He enables us all along the way. He's our enabler. Mm-hmm. And so he is the true vine. And then he says, I am the good shepherd. You know, he said, you are my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. And he said, if you'll follow me, I'll lead you in the right path. You know, sometimes it might not be easy, but he'll be there to be our sufficiency and our strength. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I only want to do you good. Mm-hmm. And so, and then he says, I am the door. He is the only door into heaven. We have to, There is no name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. He said, if you try to come in any other way, you're a thief and a robber. But he is the door. And as I said before, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, sometimes we reach places in our life that we think, well, that's over, you know, and it's a disappointment to us. Mm-hmm. But the Lord has the way of breathing new life into us, mm-hmm. and to resurrect when we feel like all hope is gone. He resurrects that hope inside of us, mm-hmm. and he gives us a reason to go forward and to push on. He shows us that there's greater things that he has in store for us. If God ever asks you to give up something, just think he's got something better for you. Mm-hmm. We don't know everything, you know, but he does. And he might see somewhere down the road where what you had is going to be a hindrance to you, and it may cause you to veer off the course a little bit. And he's trying to save you from that. Mm-hmm. He's trying to say, hey, I've got something out here that I want to do, and it's going to be greater than what you ever thought. And so he only does us good. And then the last three are the most exciting, and they reveal the supernatural side of God. And it is, he said, I am the Son of God. What would we have done if he hadn't have been willing to come and as the Son of God and be lifted up on the cross of Calvary? Because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so he came as the Son of God to redeem us from our sins. Nobody else could do it because it had to be a sinless sacrifice. And he was the only one available. And he said, I am the Messiah. The Messiah. That is the Redeemer. But in being the Messiah, he is everything we need. There's not one thing that he cannot do because he's the Messiah, mm-hmm. you know, and then the last one is something that he requires of us. And he says, I am your Lord and Master. And he requires obedience, mm-hmm. because his way is the best. Yes, as we said before, his way is the best. But for us to be able to receive his best, we have to walk in obedience to him. And we have to. He told his disciples, he said, you call me Lord and Master, and so I am. He said, you know, you follow me. You follow me. Don't follow man, because man will lead you astray. Even if they think they're going the right way, they will sometimes down the line, they might lead you astray. So if they speak something to you that doesn't line up with my word, if they speak something to you that you're not quite sure of, it doesn't quite sound right, you better pray about it. And you better make sure that you're following after me. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want you to go into error. Mm-hmm. Because error will lead you into the wrong place. And so, anyway. So, those are the things that Jesus said that he was. Now, today, we are going to talk about the scriptures about where he says, I will. I will. And the first time, the first thing was the story about the leper that came to Jesus in Luke 5 and verse 13. And the leper came to him, and he said to Jesus, he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean, if you will. He didn't know, because lepers, see, they had to stay away from everybody. Nobody could touch them. Nobody could even come close to them. And they had to holler all the time in front of them, I'm unclean, I'm unclean, and I'm unclean. Well, you know, what does that do to your concept about yourself and how people receive you? You know, he's a very needy person on the inside of him, because when you live like that, you feel like a piece of trash. Because everybody's thrown you away. Because they had to, because they didn't want to catch the disease that you had. And leprosy was very contagious. Very contagious. And so they were doing that to protect everybody. But it left them isolated. So he didn't know, you know. And what Jesus did really ministered to him. And it brought healing to him, because Jesus said, he said, because the leper said, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said immediately, I will, I will. And he didn't just say that. He reached out and he touched him. Jesus was not afraid to touch the untouchable. And he's still not afraid. If you feel like you're in a place where people are saying you're untouchable, we can't associate with you, you know, Jesus can touch you. He'll relate to you. There's not one person that he's afraid to get close to. And he's not afraid to touch you. You don't have some disease that he's afraid of catching, because he's the healer. He is healing. And so he's touched him, and he said, be clean. And it said immediately his leprosy left him. Immediately. And his reply to us today when we ask him if he can touch us is Isaiah 53:5. And Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are present tense. Not gonna be, present tense. We are healed. When he took those stripes at Calvary and he died on the cross, right before he died, he said, Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. And then he bowed his head and he said, it is finished. Jesus completes the work that he starts within us. He doesn't leave us half done. Have you ever had a cake that you took it out of the oven and you thought it was done, and it fell because it was only half done? God doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't do that. He completes us. He completes us. He supplies all the missing parts. Wow, he supplies it all. He supplies everything we need. And so he said, I am the great I am. I'm everything you need me to be. And I will complete you. So he is the great physician who heals all of our sicknesses and diseases. There's nothing he cannot do. Even our thoughts he heals. Our memories he heals. And he takes away those bad experiences, and he gives us hope. He gives us a better. He says, let me draw your attention into what I want to do for you. Mm-hmm. I've got a future for you that you never even dreamed of. Mm-hmm. And it's full of hope. It's full of life. It's full of joy. It's full of peace. It's full of anything that passes your understanding. I am the one that causes you to live an abundant life. Mm-hmm. An abundant life. And so he says, I will heal you of all of your diseases. And then he says, I will draw all people unto me. And that is found in John 12:32. And he said, before he went to the cross, he said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. There's not one person that he refuses. We can refuse him. We can refuse to be drawn. But he deals with us. And he doesn't just, the first time we say no to him, he doesn't just leave us and say, okay, if you don't want me, I'm not ever going to deal with you again. But he continues to draw us. He continues to deal with us. But there'll come a time he won't make you. He doesn't want a robot. He doesn't want a puppet. He wants those that serve him out of a willing heart. But if he sees that you're not ever going to turn, he will say, okay. If you're never going to turn, then I weep over you because I know what's going to happen. I don't want you to go there, but you chose to. I don't send anybody there. But if you choose to not choose me, there's no other choice. You may not realize that. But if you don't want to choose me, that's the only choice you have. And the enemy is standing over there saying, oh, goody, 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 I got another one, I got another one, I got another one. And it causes God to weep because he sent his son so that nobody would have to go to hell with the devil. But it's your choice. He doesn't violate your choice. He will do all he can to draw you to him. But he will let you go if you just insist. So don't ever believe it when people you hear every once in a while. Well, a God, you know, because like people sometimes ask you if you tell them God is a God of love. They say, well, then why does he send people to hell? No, God doesn't send anybody to hell. They don't realize it, but they send themselves. They send themselves. You don't go to hell unless you chose to go there. So anyway. And see, that's a message that sometimes people don't want to receive. We were talking about sometimes God gives messages people don't want to receive. That's when they don't want to see that it's their responsibility. You know. But they don't know what they're missing. They don't know the abundant life God offers them. He's the only place there is peace. The only place in this world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, and in me you'll have peace. I don't know who would turn that down. I don't know who would turn that down. But there are people, because they don't know better, that do. You know, and his heart breaks. And so, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And then in John 17:24, here's Jesus' desire. He prayed this to his Father. And he said in John 17:24, he said, Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, For you loved me before the foundation of the world. And I want to tell you this too. God didn't just love Jesus before the foundation of the world. He loved you. He loved every one of us. That's why he sent Jesus in the first place, because he knew we needed a redeemer. We could not redeem ourselves. Jesus was the only one. And Jesus, even though he knew what he was going to have to face, he said, Father, I'll go. I'll go. Let me do your will, Father. Let me do your will. I live to do your will, Lord. Even though he was God's son and he was equal with God, he said, Lord, He said, Father, I live to do your will. Mm-hmm. I live to do your will. And he came to redeem us. And he said, and Lord, I don't want to just redeem them. But Lord, they're going to walk with me. He was talking about his disciples. They're going to walk with me. And they see me manifest my glory down here. And he said, Lord, but when I go back to heaven, Lord, I want them to be able to go with me. I want them to be able to be with me forever. Mm-hmm. I want them to be able to experience my glory forever. Because in heaven, my glory is going to be even greater. Mm-hmm. Whoa! You know, we can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. We got such a future waiting on us. I encourage people today, if you are discouraged, don't give up. Remember what you're giving up. Mm-hmm. You're giving up. You don't even know. Eye has not seen or ear heard, neither can it enter into our heart the thing that God has prepared for those that love him. We can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. And to know that it's going to be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever never ends, we can't even know what infinity is. And we get to enjoy that with Jesus. All of eternity. And the other good part about heaven, there's one person that won't be there. And this is just about it. Jesus is the greatest reason, but this is number two, and it ranks right up there with it. The devil won't be there. We won't have to put up with him anymore.
Amen.
So all of this is what makes heaven heaven.
Amen. Miss Mary, would now be a good time for prayer requests?
Yes.
Okay, we do have a few prayer requests for this morning.